where they would want to be, Ferrari. Bad day for them, good day for Verstappen.
I never thought I would have such inspiration for such an emotive piece of film. But it was a minute that will live on forever through the annals of Twitter and my heart. Thank you, Ferrari. I'll never forget you. And welcome back to Motorsport 101.
Right. Yes, we are here at the Cannes Film Festival with our award, because I think we all played a part in this, giving King free material to get his short film together. It was called Dear Ferrari, and we're all very proud of it, isn't that right, Ryan King?
Oh man, it's I can't be happy accepting this award because. A lot of dreams had to be shattered to get here.
So much so that I think it was almost emotive that King put Fernando Alonso's name in there twice.
That was not an error. That was fully intended.
That was not an error.
Apparently not an error. Who knows? You be the judge at home. Hey guys, friendly neighborhood host Trey Harrison here for episode 260 of Motorsport 101, live from the Cannes Film Festival. Hello everybody, hope you guys enjoyed the show. Apologies for not being on the IndyCar special, I was caught up at work. It happens. I heard RJ O'Connell, who you see can say hi by the way, did a great job in taking over my hosting duties.
Yeah, we got a real Cannes Film Festival, right? Because my desk is filled with sparkling water cans. Boy, it's we're really at the Cannes Film Festival now. How many of these are there? Oh, shoot. Oh, boy.
We're 4 minutes in, and we've already descended into RJ playing with Cannes. Can you save us by any chance?
Can Buckley.
I don't know if I can save you all, but as chief sound designer of King's short film, I'm very proud of how it turned out. Good job, King.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't have done it without Cam.
So, yeah.
This was truly a legendary collaboration. I think it will go down as a legendary piece of video, and I just have to thank Ferrari for being so fucking bad.
About as bad a collaboration as Kanye West and Shoemaking.
It can't be as bad as Kanye West and Derrick Rose's collaboration shoe. The Fishbone 11s.
Oh, Lord. Anywho, onto somehow elements of the show that will be more painful. In this episode, we'll be talking about Formula One's Belgian Grand Prix, where, for the second week in a row, the Formula 2 section is bigger on our show notes. What a surprise. Because, Formula 2 was actually good.
Yeah, it certainly was Belgian. It certainly was a Prix. It certainly wasn't Grand.
No. Not in the slightest. And, for the second time in 24 hours, I get to dunk on Ferrari all over again. More on that in a minute. But it was painful for fans of the Scuderia, to say the least. A lot of pain to get through in the next 45 minutes to an hour or so. And, we'll get right into it after this a quick bit of general housekeeping. So all of the Formula One stuff from Belgium in a minute. Basically, you can find us real quick if you're watching this on YouTube. Hi, why not subscribe and hit the bell to get notifications on when these go live? If you're not on YouTube, hi, you can subscribe to us over there at youtube.com/motorsport101. Check us out there if you haven't already. Our social media, if you're watching this on YouTube, again, all our Twitter handles are on the screen. If not, they're also in the description down below. If you're listening on audio, it's at Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, at Ryan Eric King, and at Cam, CBuckley917. Just yank out the vowels, you'll find it. We're on facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter, as well, the podcast Twitter, I should say, is at motorsport_101. And shout out to King for digging out this factoid. Apparently, our third most watched country for viewers now, according to YouTube's analytics, is Italy. Hello, Italian friends. I don't know why you're taking such pleasure in viewership in watching us dunk on your beloved team, but thanks for joining us.
Buongiorno, and thank you for tuning in to our Serie A podcast.
Yeah. We're here to see how Lionel Messi will end up joining Inter Milan. It should be great. and also, if you really like us, you can back us financially on Patreon, patreon.com/motorsport101. We've done a little bit of tweaking to the Patreon page in recent days. I'll talk about that in just a minute as well. I want to say a quick thank you as well to everybody who picked up a copy of The Kick. I promised over the month of July and August that anyone that bought a copy, I would donate £2 per copy to Mind, a charity for better mental health in the UK. 36 of you did, so thank you all very much for that. It was actually way more than I expected. So I rounded it up to a cool £100. So thanks to everyone that's chipped in. Much appreciated. And if you guys, missed out, or, it's still available on Amazon, of course. It's also on our Patreon page for just $5 if you want the digital version. Which has got colour in it, which is always nice. He doesn't like colour. I also just wanted to say as well, it's now been added to our Patreon page as well at the $15 tier. You can now choose whether you want a Motorsport 101 t-shirt or a copy of The Kick. And we've added in a $20 tier where you can get both. So there's options galore on there as well. I've got, and this is a little sneak peek on YouTube as well for those that are audio in. The first 7 people that pledge at that level, I'll sign copies as well. And I'll ship them out wherever they are. Because I've got about 7 left in my wardrobe that are editor copies, their first edition. So what's not to love? So that's all there on patreon.com. $5 gets you early access to, and I did edit this because I think it's only fair, so for a little bit longer while we're still playing catch-up, audio and video early access for everyone in the $5 tier or higher until we're caught up. Probably another week or so until we're fully caught up. We're nearly there. King's pulled out some grey hairs over there to get that all sorted out. So thanks to King. He's worked very hard to get that sorted, including the one episode where I was wearing wasn't wearing headphones. Sorry, King. That's my bad. So until then, audio and video editions of the show will be available to all $5 backers. It will normally be 10 for video, but I've knocked it down to 5 in all fairness until we are fully caught up. $10 gets you early access to all the audio and video episodes of the show, and you get into the supporters club of our Discord server where you can listen to these episodes live as they're being recorded. Thanks to everyone in the Discord for listening in, as always. Hope you guys all appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us, and yeah, without further ado, let's get into the Belgian Grand Prix.
Here we are in Northern Europe, the most prestigious, grueling race through the mountains. Everybody wants to win this one race, this one historic event that pushes all of its athletes to the limit and beyond. King, what are your thoughts on this year's Tour de France?
Oh man, I was so excited that the Tour could finally return, and we got off to an amazing opening weekend with a very emotional Stage 2 win for Julian Alaphilippe. For the second year in a row, he gets to wear the yellow jersey for at least
fellas,
one day.
Fellas, we're talking about the Belgian Grand Prix. As much as I love the Tour de France, we have to talk about the Belgian Grand Prix. I'm sorry. King, don't leave
back.
Us.
King!
Oh, man. Anyway.
Maurice Garin at least summon some of his goons to throw a bicycle out in the middle of the track so he could throw off his nearest rival? Did that happen?
No. afraid not. King has rejoined us. King, I'm sorry, okay? It had to be done.
Why?
I think I've caused King some legitimate emotional distress. Anyway, so fellas, do we cut to the chase here and just say that Lewis Hamilton won and have done with it? Because Lewis Hamilton won again.
Lewis. This was another free practice for Lewis Hamilton.
It really was. I mean, let's get into the key nitty-gritty. Qualified on pole by half a second over Valtteri Bottas, who only just beat Max Verstappen. If anybody had faith in Valtteri before this season started, toss it in the bin. It's over.
He's already off the wagon. He's already completely off the wagon.
It's over, gentlemen. He's two races back. He's a clean 50 points off the top of the championship now. Remember the best year Bottas had where he wasn't 50 points back till Russia? And that was on the back of a team orders scandal? Now, he's 50 points down and we've only done, what, seven races so far this year?
Yeah.
Good God.
And now Mercedes are already telling Valtteri not to race Lewis in the early laps, and now it's just like, this doesn't even register with any of us for. We don't even feel it. It was cool that Lewis got to dedicate pole position to Chadwick Boseman, who we lost way, way too fucking soon.
Yeah, died of colon cancer at just 43. Just a horrendously tragic bit of news. An iconic actor and an iconic role, and in a year that's felt so sad for black people in general for many, many reasons culturally. This one hit hard. This one hurt. This one really hurt. So it genuinely brought a smile on my face to see Lewis repping the Black Panther tribute after qualifying and the race itself. It was a nice touch, a very classy gesture from Lewis, who was just as shocked as everybody else was on Saturday morning when we found out the news. So that was a lovely touch. As mentioned, qualified on pole by half a second, and no one came close. Hamilton's second best lap would have been enough for pole position. That's how bad the destruction of the field was. We all gave up on Valtteri again. As said, wasn't allowed to push. He's off the wagon. It's over. It's honestly over. And Hamilton was completely unopposed. He led every single lap of the Grand Prix. He would have had a Grand Slam if it wasn't for Daniel Ricciardo. We'll get to him at the end. It was another borderline Grand Slam. Zoe Hamilton's in the chat right now. She's currently squeeing with delight that Jim Clark's beloved record is a little bit safer for a little bit longer. Well done, Daniel, on that front, for doing us all a solid. It was an incredibly straightforward race in that sense. Valtteri second, Verstappen third. Verstappen had no problem just saying after the race, yeah, it was boring. He had nothing to do, just drive around in third. He didn't have the pace in the car to challenge Valtteri, and he just took a very comfortable third. Well, not largely until the end. We'll get to Daniel in just a minute, but I'd argue the only other major highlight of the race happened early on, a big accident between Antonio Giovinazzi, who put it in the wall at the bottom of the hill, a whole wheel coming off the car and unfortunately striking innocent bystander George Russell as he's coming through. Hits Russell smack in the halo, and he's out, and he puts it in the wall as well as a direct result of that.
Didn't hit the halo. So George Russell couldn't avoid the accident because the loose wheel hit his right front tire and completely destroyed that wheel, meaning that like the car was just going to go in a straight line.
Yeah, it destroyed the whole right front corner of his car.
Thankfully, everybody involved okay. It was a nasty one. When it cut to the pictures, I was like, ooh, that was it was a nasty one. Thankfully, everybody okay. Probably should have been red flagged given the amount of debris that was on track afterwards as well. But they ran that safety car through there, no problem at all. Thankfully, no further damage or punches to anyone that came through that hot mess. Probably an incident where we're going to have to probably look at the wheel tethers on that one, because a big ass F1 tire should not be flying off a car like that. That was a scary one.
Yeah, wheel tethers are obviously, they're there for a very good reason, and when they don't work, that's a couple hundred pounds flying through the air.
I was about to say, the only other highlight of this race for me was very early on, Pierre Gasly just put Sergio Perez through the floor at Radio.
Oh my! What a
race didn't have hardly any
rock bottom. Rock bottom.
We mentioned in the IndyCar episode that Takuma Sato had a Scotty nomination. Well, Pierre Gasly made a play for it too. This was phenomenal.
This was the only action we had all day, and what an action it was. And Pierre was pissed at Sergio because he thought he was trying to run him straight in the wall on the run-up to Rouge.
That's not the first time Perez has done that as well. Perez did that to his own teammate a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. I was about to call it the Checo special when he tries to put you in the wall on the inside down the hill. This was the second lap of the race. Yeah, you Pierre Gasly had a pretty...
You do not yield or crash someone on the way into Eau Rouge. You don't do it.
Yeah, Gasly kept his foot pinned, thankfully, and was able to pass up the inside of Radalon. And, beautiful pass. Move of the race. That alone was probably worth an extra half point on the review scale right there, because that was a stunning pass from Gasly. And he didn't have the best of starts, but he was able to claw his way back up the field very quickly because... that Honda's got some power now. Like, holy crap, he was below him past the Ferraris.
More on that later. I don't think it's because Honda has a lot of power.
Well, let's talk about Ferrari. Folks, this was bad. They were top of every session last Belgian Grand Prix. All three practices, all three phases of qualifying. Of course, won the race with Charles Leclerc in emotional circumstances, 24 hours after the passing of his friend Antoine Hubert. And this week, they were nowhere. It was a miracle that they even got out of Q1 with both cars, let alone...
Yeah, that is Charles the Leclerc, really scary thing here. Ferrari
Charles
all
Leclerc
weekend.
Was this close.
Yeah, this close. Ferrari was in danger on raw pace. Of being dropped in Q1. They were the only team from last year, and this includes the Ferrari customers, to lose pace from last year. Williams found 4 seconds.
Ferrari and Williams are just renewing their historic rivalry.
Of course. For P14.
Oh my god. Yeah, AlphaTauri found about 3 seconds from last year's Toro Rosso. Ferrari lost... piles of time, and they were losing it everywhere. They were losing it in the straights, they were losing on the brakes, they were losing it through the corners. The car had reliability problems, they had strategy problems, they had pit stop problems.
Everything was bad.
Sebastian Vettel, do you remember Areva's video after the 2015 Canadian Grand Prix talking about how Sebastian Vettel drag raced Fernando Alonso down the back straight of Canada. Turnabout is fair play, ladies and gentlemen, because Gasly fucking toasted the Ferraris down the Kemmel.
Yeah.
There was nothing they could do.
Nothing. They had no answer for him. There were some perspectives here. Charles Leclerc was on the bubble to get eliminated in Q1. He just barely made it in 15th. He'd end up qualifying, I think, in 13th place. I think it was the first time since 2014 where both cars had failed to make Q3. Again, low through the speed traps. They weren't ready for Charles Leclerc when the safety car came out for the Giovinazzi incident, and Leclerc lost 6 or 7 seconds in the pits due to a botched stop, and then he was put on a two-stopper, so he ended up being compromised and put behind Sebastian,
who
himself...
Well, he was put on a two-stopper for a reason. They had to top up his pneumatic tank. For those who don't know with Formula One engines, the valve springs are not actually springs in the engine. They are actually air-driven. They're driven by a pneumatic system, and when you start to lose air, if you've got a leak in that system, well... I don't think I need to explain what happens when a valve meets a piston, now do I?
No. Bad things happen. It's like that scene. It's like Jeremy when he bought that Maserati on Top Gear. The whole thing just exploded.
This Ferrari...
It
was painfully clear. Those who were saying, the chassis is okay, it's just their legal engine got banned. No. Because this car, was, at times this week, the slowest Ferrari-powered car.
Yeah. Yes, it does have kind of a gutless engine now, but they were also getting blown away by the Alfa Romeos, which have been kind of butt trash for pretty much all this entire year.
Mm-hmm. And the Haases.
Yeah, and the Haases.
Romain Grosjean was making a run at Leclerc late. What year is this?
Yeah, Grosjean and Leclerc had a ding-dong fight all the way to the final lap off camera. Leclerc finally got past him on the final lap of the race. And I think it was a fight for 14th place. It was like, that's how bad it was. Sebastian Vettel, who, as we know, is a four-time world champion, did not spend a single lap in the top 10 of the Grand Prix at any point.
And Leclerc only did because he sent it. It's a yeet or be yeeted world, and he yeeted LeSource on lap one.
Yeah,
around the outside.
He got the great start and then proceeded to fall down the table like he was wearing shoes made of concrete. Look,
and the Ferrari, the worst thing is that, you know, to an extent, some of this is that they were stripping so much wing off that they just didn't have any downforce on the car. But when this car turns, it loses downforce. It's like the 2018 McLaren. As soon as the car goes into yaw, the downforce just starts peeling off, and the drivers have to catch it mid-corner. It's gotten to the point where even Leclerc, who has kind of just been doing what he can so far. Obviously, Vettel's, his frustrations have been very clear the last few weekends. Even Leclerc's frustration is beginning to boil over into anger towards the team.
Well, that's a long-term process, Charles. You're going to have to stick it out for the long run. And Carlos, I think you may be hoping for a very, very, very big step. But I don't know. I think the best they may be able to do is very.
Yeah, Sainz went out of this race before we even had a race because his power unit failed, which triggered an exhaust failure, pissed fluid everywhere, good stuff.
He was in the pit lane
watching the Ferraris, and he just had his jaw on the floor as the AlphaTauri ripped, he peeled the red paint off of Vettel going down the Kemmel.
Yeah, he even said in
what have I done?
He said to the press today, Ferrari need a big improvement for next year. Can't imagine why he'd say something like that. It was a horrendous race. Like, that's the highest finishing Ferrari powered car was Kimi Raikkonen in P12, who legitimately finished a second and a half ahead of Sebastian.
That's how bad this was.
Yeah.
This is the first time a Ferrari customer has beaten the factory on merit since Korea 2013. When Nico Hülkenberg went apeshit and was fighting with Lewis Hamilton all race in the 2013 Sauber.
We don't talk about how great that Hülkenberg year was in 2013. The man was doing that without even being paid. And he was out here rubbing shoulders with Lewis Hamilton in a Sauber, for Christ's sake.
Ferrari's worst result on merit since the 2009 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom has fallen out.
Jesus. I don't even know anymore. It's just, this is painful. And according to everyone in the back, Matteo Bonotto, Ferrari's chairman as well, it's going to be at least another couple of years. They've got no engine tokens left worth a damn. There is fundamental problems all over the car.
Oh, no. That's the thing. They get two chances. At the end of this year and the end of next year, you can do whatever you want to the power unit. After that, you got what you got.
Yeah, you can't develop your way
Find a new illegal system.
Folks, this race was kind of terrible. Really, the only intrigue, Pierre Gasly trying an alternate strategy, that got thrown out the window with the safety car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the biggest victim of said safety car because Gasly had top five pace the whole way through. Gasly was on fire. He was shafted by the safety car. He was the big loser in all of that, and a real shame because he was running tremendous pace. But it did get us a little bit of late race fun in the end because Daniel Ricciardo came surging through and only finished, I think, 3.4 seconds behind Max Verstappen. If the race was one lap longer, We might have had a Daniel Ricciardo Hail Mary yeet into the bus stop on the final lap.
And Dre, you know what that means? You know what that means, Dre. Daniel Ricciardo picks a tattoo for Cyril Beatable.
I want a Citroen tramp stamp. Let's
Renault looking pretty good in low drag trim.
Yeah, very Renault much have so. A very good high speed car.
Which kind of is funny when you think that their engine is the third best.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy how that worked out in the end. Let's give a quick rundown of the whole field. Lewis Hamilton winning comfortably by 8.5 seconds. Where have you heard this one before, folks? Win number 89. He can tie the great Michael Schumacher at Mugello in 2 weeks' time. We've got to get through Monza this weekend first. But the way you're going right now, who's betting against this? Like, honestly? Like, certainly not me. Valtteri Bottas, a comfortable second in the end. No real threat there. Max Verstappen, third. He got a little bit of hot water in the end from Daniel Ricciardo in fourth, who got the fastest lap, and I believe... Ruined the Hamilton Grand Slam with the fastest lap on the penultimate lap of the race. So well done, Daniel, for spoiling Lewis's fun. We appreciate that. Esteban Ocon, his best finish since coming back, in fifth place. Alex Albon in sixth, still 27 seconds behind his teammate.
This time he ran an alternate tire strategy. He started on the mediums, went to the softs.
What the fuck was Red Bull thinking?
Yeah, if they
27 laps on the mediums.
Took a play out of the Ferrari playbook.
What was that? Jesus, Horner. He was almost gunned down by Lando Norris at the end of the race there, who once again was in scenario 7 and finished in 7th place. Fits in. Pierre Gasly, as mentioned, kind of shafted by the safety car, but if there was a driver of the year candidate right now that isn't 44, it might be Pierre Gasly in the number 10 AlphaTauri. Man is on fire. Great drive once again from him. Lance Stroll in P9, Hail Canada. And he beat his teammate Checo again, who keeps getting these weird alternate strategies. Every time we get a Perez race these days, he's on some sort of alternate plan. He rounded off the points in 10th.
Surprise Racing Point didn't do better, to be honest.
Yeah, bit of a mediocre round by their standards these days. Daniel Kvyat in 11th, Kimi Raikkonen, yes, that Kimi Raikkonen, the man that turns 41 in October, the highest finishing Ferrari car.
Look, I know that the man is a spa specialist, but for God's sake.
Pain. Sebastian Vettel, yes, ahead of Charles Leclerc. Suck it. In 13th, Leclerc in 14th, Grosjean 15th, Nicholas Latifi 16th, and Kevin Magnussen, the last of the runners, over the line in 17th. Everybody was on the same racing lap. Good old Spa being a 105-second lap. You'll love to see it. As mentioned, three non-finishers, obvious really. Giovinazzi and Russell in that nasty lap 9 incident. Again, thankfully both guys walked away from that okay. And Carlos Sainz, who gets the rare and painful DNS, did not start due to a power unit and exhaust failure before the Grand Prix even started. Sigh. Championship standings, more sighs. Hamilton now has a 47-point lead on Max Verstappen in second place. Hamilton's won 5 of the last 6, in case you've been keeping score at home. Verstappen has second on 110. He's 3 ahead of Valtteri Bottas in third on 107. A now clean 50 points back. Oh boy. Alex Albon in 4th on 48, ahead of Charles Leclerc on 45, and Norris on 45, Lance Stroll on 42, Ricciardo up to 8th on 33, a dead level with Perez, Ricciardo having the countback tiebreaker there, and Esteban Ocon rounding off the top 10 in 10th with 26 points. Constructors, oh god, it makes for painful reading. Mercs have already got a 3-digit lead on the field. They have a 106-point lead on Red Bull Racing. Mercs on 264, Red Bull on 158. McLaren back up to third on 68 points, thanks to Lando. Even though they only had one car for the weekend. Racing Point post penalty still 4th on 66. Ferrari 5th on 61. And now only 2 points ahead of Renault. Who would have guessed that at the start of the year?
I expect Renault to pass them in Monza.
No, Mr. Buckley, I expect you to die! Very James Bond style. But yeah, Renault on 59, AlphaTauri on 20, Alfa Romeo on 2, they still haven't scored since the opening round, Haas on 1, and Williams on 0 points. It's like a British entry at Eurovision. It's very painful. This was a 4 out of 10 race. Do not go out of your way to see it. Please and thank you.
I think you're being generous.
Any disagreements here?
3.
No? Good.
3 out of 10. This weekend actually pissed me off.
Ooh, that bad. Like, I don't normally go lower than 3 unless a race weekend genuinely makes me angry. This was pretty close.
I am legitimately angry at... Look, Valtteri Bottas can't keep talking this shit. Every year. The gap to Hamilton pisses me off. Well, then go do something about it.
Like, he's just gonna channel his inner Sisu, have some more porridge.
He's just gonna eat more apple and onion pizza. Fuck off.
Oh boy, here we go.
Sergio Perez, you have been eclipsed.
No!
Oh! No, yeah, this was on his new girlfriend Tiffany Cromwell's Instagram yesterday, and it was Valtteri baking his own pizza. I don't know what was more cringy, the pizza or the bicycle pizza cutter that was on the table as well. Like, of course, the pro cyclist has a cycle pizza cutter on the desk. Of course, you nerd. Also an apple and onion pizza. And you thought Checo's tuna and chips could possibly be topped? I thought, no, that's not doable. No,
I still gotta give it to Checo's tuna and chips. No! Pizza.
No.
Anyone caught putting slices of apple on pizza should be punished with being forced to watch this race on loop for a week.
No. They have to eat the pizza. Well, you know what? I subject them to 3 hours of Valtteri Bottas fan cams from Twitter. That is my official punishment.
Although to be fair, it's not as cringeworthy as that one Verstappen fan doing a shoey up the back of Eau Rouge.
As the podcast resident New Yorker, I'm not going to say anything about this pizza because this podcast would get canceled so fast for the feelings I'm having about that pizza.
Okay, we can sum it up. I can sum it up for you, King. The pizza is beneath your words as a New Yorker.
Yes.
No, King. You can bleep them afterwards. It would be actually funnier.
Actually,
if you
yes.
Did.
Talk to me
about that
King,
pizza.
King, let it rip.
Tell us about it. Get him.
Nah, because I'm the person who edits this in post. I don't
know. Just bleep him out. Just bleep him out.
That makes it funnier.
Nah, we're just going to push on. We're just going to push on.
Chicken.
I'd prefer that on pizza.
Moving on.
What?
I prefer chicken on pizza compared to...
Okay. Oh, well done, King. Great take. Sizzling take. I mean... Way to go, son. Way to go. Should we get into Formula 2?
I don't want to get into Formula 2.
Let's get into Formula 2.
Okay, no, actually we should because this is pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, this was pretty good.
Yeah,
and of
Formula
course,
2 was great.
This is, of course, 1 year after we lost Antoine Hubert in that feature race wreck.
Yes.
Obviously a lot of tributes to him this weekend. Every car had one of his AH19 stickers.
Mm-hmm. The broadcast itself.
Yep.
His mother and brother were at the track. Juan Manuel Correa was at the track. Mm-hmm. Alex Jakes delivered a wonderful introduction to the feature race itself, which balances out something else we'll talk about later in the set list. But boy, what fireworks we had in this feature race, because... Early on, it looked as if your players for victory were going to be Yuki Tsunoda, who is now in the headlines as a potential AlphaTauri F1 candidate for 2021.
I should correct you there. It looked like he was the only one in play for victory because he just He got pole and just left.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. He had a great performance. So Schumacher and Mazepin pit on lap 10. Tsunoda comes in a lap later. It's kind of a slow stop. A lot of these stops.
No. There was a lot of finger trouble during the F2 race. Oh, my God.
Yeah. God, we love it so much. But this leads to the finish. So on lap 20, Yuki Tsunoda is still in the DRS range from Nikita Mazepin, who is holding back Tsunoda for all he's worth. Tsunoda sets up the move around the outside of Lacombe. It's a right-left-right chicane. Tsunoda tries to make the move, but you think maybe he overshoots it a bit, and he's forced to cut the inside of the track and gives the position back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't quite... He's not quite far enough alongside the first go he has at it. Has to bail out through the runoff and rejoins behind Mazepin.
And it should be noted that Mazepin was under investigation at this point because he had drove through the pit box in front of him to straight line his run to the pit exit.
Yep.
Which was somehow later awarded a reprimand for the team, even though the team had nothing to do with it. It was purely dry. So I guess next time they should reprimand the opposing team for standing in the way.
I love this, though, because we give out driver penalties for shit the team does bad. Now we give team penalties for shit the driver does bad. It makes perfect sense. So we get to two laps to go, and Tsunoda's got a great run coming out of the hairpin. Great run through Eau Rouge and Radeon. He is right on Mazepin's gearbox. He gets a great run through the DRS zone, and he's got the move around the outside done. They are side by side through the first bit of Lacombe, and Mazepin kind of pushes him off through the inside of the corner again.
It wasn't really kind of. It was a definitely alongside. Arguably in front was Tsunoda.
I was watching this with my partner, and he was just like, yo, what the heck? That was some naughty driving on the part of Nikita Mazepin. But as it stood on the road, Mazepin had done enough to take the feature race victory. Until Dre?
30 seconds later.
Sorry, the race is under review. Stuart Harrison is intercepted. 5 second time penalty for Nikita Mazepin for forcing Tsunoda off the track. Tsunoda wins!
Yeah, and
gotcha.
It was on the cooldown lap. So like the graphic had already come up saying that Mazepin had won. Mazepin was still under investigation for the pit lane exit. So we were waiting on hearing for a result for that. But before we even got a result on that decision, just on the Braze broadcast, 5 second penalty.
Dude, that was quick.
Within a minute of the flag, the stewards have made the decision. 5 second time penalty for Nikita Mazepin for forcing Tsunoda off track. And as a direct result of that, it dropped Mazepin down to second. Yuki Tsunoda inherits the victory. Yuki immediately paid tribute to Anne Fawn. It was lovely, and it was a touching gesture. They put into the pit box, and this was actually another...
This is where it gets good.
This is where it turns into a spicy meatball.
Yeah, this is when we got to what we call the Mazepin taking gold in the Petty Olympics race. Tsunoda's already gotten out of the car and started celebrating his victory when a Mazepin pulls up and yeets the number two board as he's put it into Parc Fermé. Almost hits Tsunoda with the number two sign when he's not looking. Mazepin is salty as hell that he's not won this race. He's had the win taken off him. He claimed he was really upset because he wanted to pay tribute to Anne Fawn himself with the win, which I think is the most poor excuse I've ever heard.
Remember that to be mad about a race win. In a couple minutes.
And like, but everyone was like, anyone who was gonna win that race was gonna dedicate their race win.
Of course,
And that's the thing. Like, how are you? You're paying tribute to Antoine Hubert by almost hitting one of your competitors with a sign. And it wasn't like...
Great tribute.
We're not joking when we say, like, Tsunoda was starting to walk over. He got out of his car.
Mm-hmm.
Pointed to the AH19 sticker on his helmet. Ironically, he kind of pointed to the wrong place on his helmet. But that's fine. But he's walking towards his pit crew. to celebrate with them.
Yeah.
And the sign misses him by about half a foot.
This is like the closest we're going to get to a punch-up in Parc Fermé in Formula 2. And after the race, Mazepin was still hot. As he was talking after the race, he said, "I'm going to be honest, I'm getting a little bit annoyed with it because it seems like there's two types of racing going on track and off track." Keep in mind, Mazepin was already coming off a similar time penalty for infringing on track limits at Barcelona that arguably cost him a huge haul of points.
It did, because of the safety car that affected that race at the end. And when the podium celebration happened, Mazepin just took his bottle of champagne and walked off the podium. No champagne. Yeah. He's like, "Later, y'all, I'm thing. Out."
he starts walking off the podium, and F2 was going to do a tribute to Antoine, and they had to drag him back out.
Right.
I like this. The closer to this one. "I finished third last weekend in Spain. I finished first this weekend. No one can take it away from me." Well, they just did.
And the funny thing is, mentioning that P2 hit earlier, Nikita was also given a suspended 5-place grid penalty for, quote, "an act of unsportsmanlike conduct."
So if he messes up again, it's an automatic 5-place grid drop.
He was not endearing himself to the stewards by any stretch of the imagination this weekend.
No, because what he did was dirty and downright dangerous. That could have really hurt Yuki if that board hits him at that speed. A suspended 5-grace penalty for Mazepin there. In other words, go sit in the corner and think about what you've done, you naughty boy. As mentioned, Tsunoda inherited the victory in the end ahead of Mazepin in that, and that was the lead fight for the win pretty much all the way through. That was a nasty one. The only other really major, the other major highlight was, remember how we were talking about how great MP Motorsport was last time around when they won both races for the first time since they were in, F2/GP2?
Do you remember a couple of years ago when one of MP Motorsport's alum, Daniel DeYoung, had a pretty scary incident at Blanchimont?
Mm-hmm.
Well, two great tastes taste great together, but they don't taste great together. They wrecked each other out. Thankfully, they're all right, of course, but that was a bit clumsy. And Drugovich was ultimately disqualified for his part in the incident.
It wasn't for his part of the incident. He was disqualified for not using both mandatory tires until the final.
Nobu was penalized for the incident because he moved over in front of him. Yeah.
Look, if there is one place in the world you probably shouldn't block, it's probably Blanchimont.
How many times have we seen nasty incidents off the back of that corner?
I'm surprised at is that the crash wasn't actually that. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
When you consider Blanchimont, and a couple weeks ago we saw an LMP2 go in more or less at the same spot and dig in and be shredded across the Belgian countryside.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal. Everybody okay, and relatively speaking, a lucky escape for both Nobuharu and Felipe Drugovich in the end. That was the major highlight there. Mick Schumacher rounding off the podium there in the feature race. Stop me if you've heard that one before as well this season, the way Mick's racking up podium finishes.
Kind of a lonely day for Mick.
Very quiet. Louis Delatraz 4th, Robert Schwartzman 5th, Dan Ticktum in 6th, Guan Yuzhou in 7th, Roy Nissany in 8th picks up the reverse grid pole for the sprint, Luca Giotto 9th, and Callum Ilott in 10th. As we come to find out, not a great weekend for Callum Ilott. Didn't qualify well for a change, and the results didn't come either. You know what? I am tired of talking about Nikita Mazepin behaving kind of naughty. Let's get back to something much more sensible. Dan Ticktum.
Yay!
If you're not watching on YouTube, I'm just facepalming.
Let's talk about the sprint race a little bit. And we got We got early drama very early on when, and this is this. I believe this is what RJ would call championship implications, as Yuki Tsunoda on the early lap is the unfortunate victim of a checking up Callum Ilott as they were going free wide through the Lecoum chicane, and Yuki tags him, puts Ilott off the track into the wall, and is out. Yeah, everyone was like, ooh, hang on. That didn't go well. Tsunoda would go on to finish, I think it was 7th on the road, but the stewards gave him a 5-second time penalty, which dropped him to 9th.
Just really me, you thought this one was harsh? I don't think anyone in F2 wants this championship.
I thought this one was harsh. I thought there was not an awful lot Yuki could have done on that one.
I tend to agree. I think this is a racing incident, in my opinion.
Agreed. I think Callum backed off. Yuki had very little reaction time, if any at all, to react to Callum backing out of a free wide like that. And I think he's just been caught more than anything else. Ooh. I don't think.
Who in the cinnamon toast fuck is going 3 wide into Lecoum anyways?
Formula 2 drivers.
Good lord.
Because, boy, that was a rough one. I think Yuki was a bit unlucky on that one to get slapped with a penalty for that one. There was a safety car as a result of Ilott's early incident. Now, let's not forget, as you may have mentioned in the feature race, Roy Nassani finished in 8th, so he got to start the sprint race from pole position. And he was a victim of what we call the worst restart ever. And immediately put himself under pressure from Dan Ticktum in 2nd. They run down towards Lecoum, this corner that has caused so much drama this weekend in Formula 2. And this time, Ticktum is pushed off by Nassani to a degree. Ticktum rejoins in quite a dangerous manner. He returns right in front of Nassani's car, punts Nassani into the wall. He's off. Ticktum's front wing is damaged. Another safety car. The damage clears out of the way, and Robert Schwartzman takes the lead by passing them both. Carnage. What do you make of this one, fellas?
Looking back on it, it does kind of seem like, from one angle, Ticktum kind of chops his way back across Nissany before he has to shortcut the corner, then rejoins like stupid fast. It's like he clatters over the curb and just torpedoes himself right in the side of Nissany's car.
This was a lot. If you remember how the 2012 European Grand Prix played out right at the end, with Pastor and Hamilton. This was like that on steroids.
Yeah. I literally tweeted that out during the race. Like, I was like, that was big Valencia 2012 vibes.
Yeah, this was like that if Ticktum had way more room to, you know, react and slow down and just didn't. Because, you know, in Valencia, it's a relatively tight complex there. You don't have anywhere to go but back onto the track. Ticktum just said yeet.
Amazingly, he didn't get a penalty out of that. Yeah, didn't get a penalty. Blames Roy for it. Ironically, he did fall down to 10th because his car just had no pace at the end.
Yeah, the front wing damage had a very weird effect on his car. Like, remember playing F1 2010 where if you had a broken front wing, you just turned it to the plus setting and all of a sudden you were really fast in a straight line? That's what happened to Dan Ticktum. He had tremendous straight line speed, so it was actually quite hard to pass. But on the other side of the coin, it made him horrendously slow through the corner. So some guys had to get creative, like Juan Yujo had to go around the outside of the second chicane after Pujon, for example. And that christened my new nickname for him of Zhou Time. Because I thought that was quite fun. But Ticktum eventually, as RJ alluded to, would drop to 10th. Almost beaten by his teammate, Yuri Vips. Remember him filling in this weekend for Sean Bale?
Yeah, Yuri Vips out of nowhere.
Vips almost snagged him on the final corner of the race, and Ticktum had the better run coming out of the final chicane and was able to just hold on for a point ahead of Yuri Vips. Vips from the pit lane to 11th in a sprint race. Good going, kid. Good going indeed, if I do say so myself. Unfortunately, this also completely cleared the way for Robert Schwartzman to win very comfortably in the end by a good chunk of seconds in the end ahead of Mick Schumacher. Yes, another podium for
podium.
Mick, this time
after
second.
Podium. Podiums on podiums. We heard you like podiums.
Yeah, fourth podium in the last five races for Mick Schumacher. No wins. Like seconds and thirds, just racking up the points. Up to fourth in the championship now. So yeah, like I said, fourth podium in the last five races. Guan Yu Zhou was third ahead of Nikita Mazepin, who kept his nose dry this time. Luca Giotto fifth. Delatraz sixth. Lingard seventh. Artem Markelov, yes, his first
finally
points of
the
year.
Points.
Resident. Fun. Haver.
Artem Markelov in eighth. Yuki Tsunoda ninth after the time penalty, and Dan Ticktum rounding off the top 10 in the end. Two very fun Formula 2 races, although if I do have one provision, Formula 2, please don't bring Peter Windsor back on the commentary sticks. My God.
You have never known Formula 1 boomers until you've known Peter Windsor commentary.
This dude went
He brought up
being...
Fangio. He yeah. is the definition of, well, back in my day...
Dude Ugh. Went from being a passable pit reporter for Speed Channel to just being dreadful. I know,
it's
surely...
it's the last 6 years of gargling Lewis's nuts like he owes him money.
but hey, at least he's got those USF1 toasters.
He's got that Rich Energy sponsorship.
Where's Davide when you need him? Honestly. Like,
yeah,
come on.
I'd rather have Davide back. If not Davide, hey, let's get Alex Brundle back in here.
Alex Brundle was fine.
I think Davide got so excited over something, he may have exploded.
Yeah, like, they've not been able to put him back together yet. It's like Majin Buu, you're waiting for him to regenerate at this point. It's just, like, it's been... painful. Alex Brundle's been fine. Bring back Alice Powell if you really want to go there. She was much better
in
the commentary box. Stop inviting Peter Windsor to this. He's basically spent the entire weekend talking about building a fucking wall like he was Donald Trump regarding sticking a wall at Lacoon, because if there was a wall there, they wouldn't do things like that. There is not a wall there. There is never going to be a wall there.
There hasn't been a wall there since old Spa. Old Spa.
Yeah, where Peter was a mere 40-year-old. I mean, like... Go on, watch.
My man's was out here...
When the last time there was a wall there, there were 917s banging wheels at the bottom of Radeon. Fuck off.
Yeah, my man was out here trying to take all the blame off Mazepin for that decisive shove. Yeah, that was...
It was stone wall.
Here, the frustrating thing is that it's not Stonewall, because it was established last year at the Austrian Grand Prix. You can just shove someone off the fucking road. And while I agree that this was the right call, now it's inconsistent, because now you've changed the precedent again. Are they going to start enforcing that in Formula One? Are they not?
Well,
who knows?
We'll have to wait and see.
Let's see on the next exciting episode of Formula 1Z.
But before we get into that, we have five race meetings left. Let's take a look at these point standings. Schwartzman is on top with 132 points and one really awesome TikTok account.
Remember how Ilott had a lead? That's gone.
He got 1 point out of this weekend. He now trails by 10 points, 132 to 122 for Ilott. Yuki Tsunoda is third on 111 points. The hype train's rolling along. Mick Schumacher is fourth on 106. Mazepin is fifth on 101 on brand. Guan Yu Zhou is sixth on 92. Christian Lundgaard seventh on 89. Louis Delatraz eighth on 81. Ticktum ninth on 71, and Drugovich rounding out the top 10 on 67 points. They'll be back at Monza. F1 and 3 happened too.
Yep.
It certainly existed.
Yep. And how about our favorite German Albanian driver with the Iron Man helmet, Liram Zendeli, after all this time, avenges. See what I did there? All those near misses and heartbreaks, and he takes his first win of the season.
Is he going to get into a fist fight with Ryan Hunter Ray now?
Very good. Very good.
I don't know, but Yeah, Zandelli wins. Porsche second, David Beckman third in race one, aka the feature. Race two, it's time for our round of American Exceptionalism, King, because our boy. Our boy,
America!
America Logan Sargeant wins race two ahead of his teammate Zesty Frederick Vesty in second. Liam Lawson.
Vesty was not the bestie.
It was more like one of the resty. And Liam Lawson finishes in third. And I've got to say,
I'm watching the light leave Trey's eyes as we continue this.
But it can come back because Oscar is him and his DRS.
Not here anymore.
They're just kind of, they're patching things up. Oscar and DRS realize that September is here, and it's almost time for cuffing season. So they're patching things back up, and as it stands, Logan Sargeant only has a 7-point lead on Oscar Piastri as Dre loses his mind.
Did he just say it's almost cuffing season? Yes. What show is this? What are we doing?
Moving on.
No, we're staying right here. I want an explanation. What the hell is cuffing season?
Cuffing season.
I don't want to hear it from the person here who's taken. Fuck off. No.
It's a period of time where single people begin looking for short-term partnerships to pass the colder months of the year. Usually begins in October and lasts until just after Valentine's Day.
Or just before.
Yeah, you're right. David Beckman is third in the championship.
Oh.
And before we go completely insane, Liam Lawson is fourth, Teo Porcher fifth, Frederick Vesti is sixth, Zandelli seventh, Jake Hughes in eighth, Richard Vasseur in ninth, and Alex Pironi in tenth. To complete the top 10 in the Formula 3 Championship. They will be back at Monza, but they only have two race meetings left. Holy shit, it's coming down to the wire. It's Monza and it's Mugello to decide the F3 Championship.
USA, yep, and,
USA.
Like,
USA.
So USA. Stop it. You know it's bad how I'd rather, as an Englishman... No, look, listen. You know it's bad that I'd rather have the Australian win as an Englishman than the American to win. You know how bad it's gotten on this show with you three? That's how bad it's
look,
gotten.
Look, we need something to be proud of our country. We don't have much right now.
All I'm saying is, if either one of those two have a clunker of a weekend, Beckman, Lawson, Porcher, they're right back in it.
Like, honestly, if Oscar Piastri wins this championship, is he going to have, like, a live sex celebration with his DRS ring like Edge and Lita did in 06?
Directions too difficult. Got my dick caught in a DRS wing.
That's it. I'm ending the show. It's over. Like, I can't take this anymore. Places you can find us one more time. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. Thanks for watching if you're on YouTube already. Why not hit subscribe, hit the bell, get notifications, all that fun stuff. We're on facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter. All our handles are on the screen or in the description. Or if not, at Harrison101HD, RJ O'Connell, Ryan Eric King, at CBuckley917, before we all pass out from laughter. We're on patreon.com/motorsport101. $5 gets you early access to all of our shows until we're caught up. $10 gets you the video version as well when we're back up and running at full capacity, as well as the supporters club of our Discord server where you can listen to these episodes live as they're being recorded. And $15 now gets you a chance to own a copy of The Kick as well, my little book. That's fun, and all of that, so check that out if you haven't already. All of those details and more on our website, motorsport101.com. And now I'm going to Google what cuffing season is all about. So until next time, I've been Andre Harrison, they've been RJ O'Connell, Ryan Eric King, and Cam Buckley. I'm now off to delete my internet history, and until next time, we'll be back for the Italian Grand Prix. Thanks for watching and listening. Sayonara.
Later, y'all.
Bye.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. So what's gonna last longer, the quali fuel mode banner cuffing season?
Yes.